Welcome to Croxley Green Baptist Church Sermon Podcast.
Glad Alan had those prayers for our nation. Certainly needs it. Because, you know, we need to pray for good news, because we live in a culture where there's a lot of fake news around. And maybe that's always been true. Maybe there's always been fake news around. But actually, I think fake news is very self-centered news. It's news as you want it to be. It's not truth. Fake news is about gaining advantage over your opponents, of putting yourself in the best life possible and probably sweeping under the carpet the dark side that you don't want anybody to know about. It's about manipulating people. And there seems to be an assumption that if you declare your news loudly enough and for long enough, people will believe it regardless of the facts and the truth. What Paul writes about in this passage seems very relevant for our day and our culture. He commands in verse 3, he doesn't advise, he commands in verse 3, that among you there must not be any kind, even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking. Avoid these actions, these attitudes, these expressions. And there's a link between our actions and our speaking. Both reveal the source of where our lives is. James says in his book in chapter 3, when he's speaking about the tongue, he says, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. This should not be so. Can fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? What we express outwardly in our actions, in our way of life, and in our words and speaking reveals something about the inner source of our life. In the world in which Paul is writing, there were few moral barriers which limited people's actions. Well, at least for men. Let's be honest. It was a very patriarchal society, and the rules for men were very different from the rules for women. And in that list in verses 3 and 4, actually some of these things were seen as virtues, things to be developed and commended in life, not as shameful acts. And as the church gained traction in Roman culture and society, and then across the world, such permissiveness was turned on its head and kept at bay by the church becoming part of the dominating culture, at least in the West, our societies. Or at least it drove it underground by a sense of shame if these things were exposed into the light. But these days that sense of shame seems to have largely faded away. Today, these things are uncovered and feed the newspaper headlines and the celebrity magazines. They provide the juicy storylines in soap operas and drama. Well, maybe that's no different from Shakespeare, really. And the growth of the internet has just made more and more accessible that which has been hidden. There was a story on the news this morning that the British Library has a secret library of explicit imagery from about the 1600s to the 1850s. It's been hidden away. It was removed in the Victorian era from the main library catalogue and put in a secret place, a restricted place. And they announced last week that they're going to take it out of that restricted place and put it back in the main library. Not more than that, they're going to digitize it and put it on the web. But Paul goes beyond actually condemning these outward practices, these actions and words. He goes back to the source of where they come from in our lives. He goes back to where they arise from, where they flow from, and he names it for what it is: idolatry. Idolatry. Not in the same sense as the passage I was reading this morning in Jeremiah chapter 10, which talks about, you know, men chop down a tree and they plate it with gold and silver and precious stones and they make an idol of it and they pray to it. No, this is idolatry at its heart. Idolatry, which is a self-centered gratification, seeking to put yourself first, seeking to put yourself at the heart of a vision for life. That kind of idolatry goes right back to the early chapters of the Bible, making us number one. And it's not only expressed in the way people relate in their relationships and sexual relationships. It's there in some of the other things that Paul talks about, in greed. Who isn't infected by greed? It's there in foolish talk. Who has not spoken foolishly? There in the fake news that we spread. But actually, this is more than fake news. This is fake life. Fake life compared to the fullness of life that has its source in Jesus. In this world of fake news and fake living, how do we resist the temptations to be drawn in? Well, Paul says in verse 7, do not be partners with them. Separate from them. And that's often what we as Christians have done. We have separated from people who show these kind of behaviours. We put barriers up to exclude them, to define what is the right way to live, and by our barriers, we judge how others live. And this seems attractive, it seems biblical, it seems secure, and yet it can hide a lot behind barriers. One of my observations, and one of the dangers of barriers, is those who raise them the highest, those who proclaim them the loudest, and those who judge people most harshly for their behaviour and way of life, often seek to cover up their own internal struggles with fake life and fake news. You see, barriers do not deal with the source of behaviour. And it's better to deal with that. And to deal with that not through barriers, but staying close to the source of true life. That's what the church is about. It's a community of people with a shared experience, all different, but knowing then seeking God's love and life in Jesus Christ. For that's where fullness of life flows from. That is the source of the life that Paul is calling us to in these chapters. You know, when people look at the church, they can see it as just another hobby that a group of people have together. We are kind of one kind of community group these days amongst others. You know, you've got the U3A, you've got the Red Cross, you've got a plethora of little groups meeting in Croxley and across this area. You've got the Masons as well, and the Rotary Club, and all these kind of different groups. And sometimes people can see the church as just kind of one among many of these groups. It's a hobby. Your hobby, not my hobby. In the ancient world, the church was just one of many, many communities and societies that were formed. People gathering together who had a similar social standing, or they worked in a similar trade, or they had a similar interest. It was true. There were clubs in the ancient world from the richest people to the poorest people. If you go to Herculaneum, the other town that was destroyed when Pompeii was destroyed, what is excavated there is quite a lavish building. With, pictures painted on the wall, frescoes on the wall. And yet it was a club for slaves. It was a dining club for slaves. It's where they gathered. Where they gathered to seek to know the right people. It's where they gathered in these clubs, from the richest to the poorest, seeking to better oneself, seeking advantage. Eating together, reveling together, enjoying entertainment together. And Paul's saying the church is no club like that. There shouldn't be any obscenity or foolish talk or coarse joking, but rather there should be thanksgiving. We are to be a community of thanksgiving. We are to be a society with a different focus. And at the heart of our life is thanksgiving. At the heart of our life is bread and wine, Eucharist, the Lord's Supper. But Eucharist is a description of it which stems from this word for thanksgiving or being grateful. It speaks more than a moment in our life as a community, a practice that we do, but it's actually at the heart of the Christian life. A shift from seeking security for self, a shift to dependency upon God, not just in our minds, not just in our thinking, but in shaping our whole life. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light and find out what pleases God. Find out what pleases God. What pleases God is what Paul writes about in verse 1 of this passage. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Love is defined in many ways and is talked about in different terms. But here is love defined by offering ourselves in gratitude to God. Language which reflects that Old Testament practice of sacrifice, of burning incense on the altars, that would be a sweet-smelling sacrifice, pleasing to God. And love that is defined not by looking to the needs of others, but actually, not love defined by looking to the needs of others, not just to ourselves and what we want. Imitate God. The God we see in the life and the death of Jesus. This is not easy. In fact, it would seem impossible. Yet this is not about mimicking. This is not about following the rules. It is not about knowing what the boundaries are and the barriers are that stepping over is shameful and wrong and displeasing to God. This is not about just reflecting the light of God's love and his life that we read about in the Bible. This is about being illuminated from within. Because without that, without what Lisa was talking about last week, of being filled with the Spirit and letting that be the source of our life, this is impossible. This is impossible. Think about the sun and the moon. You know, the sun is fake news, really. The moon's fake news, actually. The moon is a fake light. It has no light of its own. It just mimics the sun. It just reflects the sun's light. The sun is the source of light. The moon just, well, light just bounces off it. Think about the moon in the daytime. You ever seen the moon in the daytime? Yeah. You ever noticed the moon in the daytime? Hands up if you noticed it. You know, some people have never noticed the moon in the daytime. They always think the moon comes out at night. I was talking to somebody this summer, and they saw the moon in the daytime, and they were thinking, that's wrong. But when you see the moon in the daytime, it is pale in comparison with the sun. The sun is the source. The moon mimics the sun. We have to be more like the sun than the moon. We have to be illuminated from within. See, everything that is illuminated becomes a light, Paul says. Everything that is illuminated becomes a light. Don't be a pale reflection of the light of God's love. Let God's love be the source of the fuller life that leads to our offering ourselves in thanksgiving to God for his love, and offering ourselves to others too. You see, you can resist this fake news world and fake life world. You can resist it through setting of barriers and judging those who live outside the barriers as you see them. But actually, it's going to be hard to do. It's impossible to do. Unless you're going to cut yourself off and go and live in some isolated place somewhere. Or go and join a monastery. I still remember the day when the first Iraq war kicked off, when I had a knock on the door from a neighbour, and she said, she came in, she was quite distressed, she said, is there any way I can join a convent? And she was working for a business who had people in Kuwait that day, and her boss's attitude had been in as the Iraqis invaded, let's get the money out. Never mind the people. Greed. And her solution to that was to run away and to go somewhere where these things did not happen. The problem is, if you're going to do that, if you're going to live with inside your barriers, you still have to live with yourself. You still have to live with the source of these things. So you can live behind your barriers. You can separate yourself off. Or you can expose the darkness by being illuminated within by the light of Jesus Christ and the power of God's love. And to be honest, the latter is more challenging because, as I said, you have to face up to the inner darkness. You see, have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. That doesn't begin by shining light on the darkness in the world. That begins with us. That begins with God's light illuminating the dark places in our lives. So don't be fake news. And don't just expose the darkness outside of you. Be illuminated within. Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us.